I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
It's a brand new best podcast in baseball. My guest this week is Danny Wexelman, sideline reporter, host, baseball storyteller there at Cardinals TV. She's back in St. Louis to help bring Cardinal baseball games on TV to the fans while continuing some of her work on the radio and throughout baseball. Danny has a fascinating story. She's got a great gift for telling the story of the game, and I cannot wait to talk to her about it and how her background reporting on amateur baseball and baseball development specifically puts her in a great position to tell the story of the 2026 Cardinals. That's enough prelude. Cue the music.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this week by Cardinals TV reporter and so many other titles. I could go on and on and on, and I'd probably only get half of them. It's, of course, St. Louis native, Mizzou May, Danny Wexelman. I want to begin by saying welcome home. Right?
Thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much. It doesn't get old hearing that. I really appreciate it.
We are in DC wrapping up the first of the Cardinals road trip. And I wonder, let's just start like general. What has struck you, A, about this team on the field? And then I want to ask you about like what it's been like covering the team, sort of going from like from, you know, a national perspective to a hyper intense local perspective so quickly. So what struck you on the field?
On the field, I think what you see is what you get. I don't think it's a show. I don't think that anybody is trying to be somebody that they're not. They're genuinely fighting every moment of every game. And we throw a lot of buzzwords out in our sport. And I think one of them is compete, but I do think actually the perspective I have in getting to see it firsthand, I think I've probably been guilty of throwing those words around before, and we all do, but when you actually see it, like 1 through 9 inning wise compete, every at bat compete, watching guys try to take their walks, watching guys drive up pitch counts, watching guys hit sacrifice flies. That was earlier, right? That was back in St. Louis to open the season. Mm-hmm. So I think from my perspective, knowing that this is a rebuild and that this is an opportunity to start a new era, it's the same standard, right? There's urgency. It's not about being patient. I'll tell you this. I can tell you they're not being patient with the St. Louis Cardinals. There's urgency, but there's an understanding that they're going to do things a little differently now under Heim Bloom. And they're still going to compete. So I think that's been my favorite part is watching that on the field. And these guys genuinely love being around each other. Their interactions with each other feel very warm and loving and like they're great friends. So that's been awesome. Covering a team. I still have my Sirius XM gig. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think like understanding, I've got my eyes everywhere and I'm trying to watch everything, but getting the chance, it's new for me, right? Getting the chance to see it up close and personal and understand the sport more in depth is exciting for me as somebody who genuinely loves it and wants to understand everything and is curious. I think it's an incredible opportunity to be able to speak more highly of the sport, to speak more intelligently about what I see and what I understand from my perspective, which I think is good for fans, viewers, people who love the sport, people who are trying to consume in different places. And for me to do my job really well here, I think the way I'm ingrained is important, but it's new. I'd say the feeling is new and I'm still getting my bearings with a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things about being around the Cardinals on a daily basis, and it changes depending on the personality of the team, personality of the front office, A lot of it has to do with the personality and the openness of the manager. I would count Ollie Marmol and Tony La Russa in the camps of openly willing to talk about strategy and challenge strategy and invite conversation about baseball. And this road trip, there's been a lot of that. Like, we've had a lot of conversation about, like you're talking about, like just the intricacies of moves. You know, five of their six wins have been comebacks. The most recent one was the second game in Washington that we both covered. And that had that fascinating pinch hit choice, right? Ramon Urias going in for Victor Scott. And then there have been other ones where he's let Nolan Gorman hit against the left. Probably hasn't gotten that much attention. Is that kind of what you're describing? That, like, if you're like embedded with a team and along for the ride, you do get to like kind of discuss these details in a way that maybe when you're having the national conversation, you're more focused on like ultimately results.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're not at every game and you're not sitting in the dugout watching these guys and who they talk to and who they go to. And I can see Dusty Blake going to talk to Joel Pozo and Andy Páez when Ivan Herrera is catching. And I can see that interaction. And then later I can go talk to them and say, hey, you got in the game late, right? You got behind the plate to catch late. What was that conversation? Did that help you in that moment? But also strategy to what you're talking about. How is Ollie using his platoons? How is he deciding to use Ramon Urias? Because Urias, obviously known for his glove, but has a little pop. His bat has played well. Watching the left field situation play out, that's going to be changing all season long. Unless Lars Nootbaar comes back and wins that spot back and is producing, they are going to see a couple of guys out there getting opportunities to play. And so then you find out, well, how do those guys stay ready? That's not easy to do when you are young and you don't get consistent at bats. And so it provides strategy and insight, which is cool. I think that's cool about the sport. And it's cool to be able to relay that to people who are consuming so they understand. The fan base in St. Louis is very smart. They want to be brought in as much as you can let them, right? There's guardrails in place, but as much as you can let them. So yeah, I think being able to understand, and Ollie is transparent, I think, as almost any manager I've covered or know in the sport, in giving details and information that maybe other managers wouldn't, because he trusts his players and he trusts his organization and his organization trusts him, which is very cool to see. So it's been, I think if you're a fan and you are watching, that's going to continue all season long from our end, is being able to provide the explanation to some things that you are seeing with this team, because it's not traditional in the sense of everyone has their positions and the lineup is set. It's going to be changing every single day to get these guys reps and playing time and make sure that they're learning who do they have, where's our organization going, where can guys play, right? And Jordan Walker is a great example of that. Obviously, it's a small sample size right now, but you are seeing, okay, maybe this is his opportunity finally to lock down that position and solidify who we thought Jordan Walker could be as a prospect at the big league level.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot that I want to ask you about there, but let's maybe dial back somewhat to the beginning and ask about, like, all right, so when you're growing up in St. Louis, like, you, there's an expectation of the Cardinals, right? Like, they were perennial contenders. They were the team that was going to appear in October. This was, you know, I've heard folks say that was their birthright, right? A playoff. I guess maybe you're spelling birthright, B-E-R-T-H there, which would have been a really good way to write it back then. I should have thought of that. Anyway, you know, and now you've come back and it's a way different lens to look through the Cardinals. How did you kind of process that? Like, if you were to talk about these Cardinals with the same lingo, the same demands of, say, the Cardinals of 20 years ago, it seems dishonest. It seems wrong. So how did you look at trying to tell the story of this team?
Yeah, I think actually that's where I feel lucky that I've had the opportunity to cover the sport at a national level, is that I'm not trying to compare them, and I don't want them to feel like that's what they need to be or have to be. They're gonna be that. Every team, right? The Cardinals are special in the sense that it's 11 World Series and that there has been a standard of excellence. There's still that standard within the walls of this organization, that's still being talked about. But you also have to accept that it's going to take a second with the way that they've drafted and developed. And so from my perspective, I've never come in ever with any team. Even I'll take the Blue Jays from last year. They have some changes, but they keep kind of the same team. That doesn't mean that that team has to go back to the World Series and win it. You hope that they do for their sake, but for the Cardinals, I don't put that on them. And I think you lose a bit of your fandom when you cover the sport for a long time. I don't know if you've experienced that, but when I moved to New York and started working for MLB.com, mm-hmm. you and for amateur baseball, I root for people. And I love the sport and I want to understand the sport and tell stories. So it really is not an issue for me coming from such incredible memories and like experiences. I was spoiled as a kid and, you know, 2006 and 11 for me, like, of course, unforgettable. But my lens, I think for me is not comparing the two and is not trying to like bring back the past. The past is far in the past right now. And I think looking ahead is actually the best thing you can do for these guys, to give them the opportunity to allow fans to fall in love with them and to prove who they can be for this organization. Because they want it the same, but they're different guys. It's a different time. It's a different generation. So I don't think that's that difficult. I was spoiled. You're right. But I don't really have issues with what I grew up with and then being a part of something that looks vastly different right now.
Yeah, it is vastly. And you have to talk about it differently. It's mm-hmm. interesting. I kind of retired as a fan, I guess, is how I think of it, of an individual team, you know, put my Yankee hat on a hook and never to be worn again.
It's tough. Because like, I think that's why you're in the job you are, part of it at least, because you loved a team and you were curious about a team and you were curious about a sport. And that's the same for me. I think that changes when like the position that I'm in, but also like my lens is still to cover the sport fairly and with integrity. And that's the most important thing to me, right? Mm-hmm. Is having integrity and being honest. And I think that the people that I work with have the same feelings and understandings and understand where I'm coming from. It's not that I'm not rooting for the team. Like I want to be careful with that. Like my role is different in that way, but there's still integrity involved mm-hmm. with it and honesty. And if someone is having a hard time, we're going to address that in a fair and honest way.
Did you go to Mizzou with baseball as your goal? Did you, when you step foot on campus and you're headed there and you're like, all right, I want to go into journalism, was baseball the goal already? Was that the thinking?
No. I think the origins are cool. Like when I was playing softball, if you ask anybody on my team, my travel team or my high school team, I always had a camera in my hands. I like to document. I love to document. And I like to ask questions. I thought I wanted to be a photographer. I thought I wanted to do something creative. So I didn't know for sure. I think a lot of people have cool stories about, oh, I grew up watching so-and-so. I watched a lot. My dad was always watching sports. So that was always on in our house. And I grew up playing. But no, I went to Mizzou to try to figure out, honestly, who I was mm-hmm. and to figure out if storytelling fit into my life in some way. And I was in the journalism program and luckily I had great people around me, but like my path is definitely, I think, very different than a lot of people's, because I knew like the big picture of what I could see myself doing. It was not, it's going to be baseball. It's going to be on camera. I love to produce. I love to be creative. Like my brain works that way, which is helpful to be on camera. But I think I realized later in college and probably after college, like I do want to be on camera. I want to tell stories in this avenue and on this platform. And we'll work our way there. So my path is different. I have a different threshold, I think, than a lot of people for time and space and where I'm going, so to speak. And So I didn't know it all right away. And it's okay if you don't know it all right away. You're not supposed to. A slow burn. I tell people I kissed a lot of frogs. I found out a lot of things I didn't want to do before I really figured out what I wanted. And I think that's ultimately why I have had the path and the success that I've had.
How much did covering amateur baseball kind of fuel or really even like amplify that interest in baseball?
I think it actually like saved my love for the sport is getting to see it at a really pure level. When I was at MLB.com, you know, you're a tadpole in an ocean there. I had no business being there so young. And I got opportunities. Darren Sutton, who's been very good to me at Perfect Game, asked me to come along and do you want to try this? Do you want to do that? He asked me to do play-by-play. That's how I got my job at ESPN. And also just getting to know these guys, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. and Corbin Carroll and Jordan Walker were some of my first draft classes that I covered. And I still have great relationships with them, but I got to see how the sausage was made, but I was also kind of going through that myself. Our paths were parallel and I was working my way up. They were working their way up. People kind of knew who they were, but they were still trying to get to that ultimate goal. I love, love, love seeing the amateur side of the sport, the college side in particular, but high school is special. I even covered some of these guys in middle school. Mm-hmm. This next high school class, that's the class that I've probably known the longest. So it's been really unique to me and I think something that separates me, but mm-hmm. I genuinely love it. I thought I was going to work in amateur baseball the rest of my life and that was okay with me because I love it so much. So I'll do it for as long as I can. It's not something that's like, oh, we're here now, that's gone. Like, it's still very much something I care deeply about and I want to share those stories. I was looking back at my notes the other day. There's a lot of these guys that were on the 2019 and 2020 PG All-American teams. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking back and I got notes upon notes about Brady House and Dylan Cruz and Harry Ford, Dalen Lyle, James Wood, mm-hmm. then Josh Baez and Jordan Walker and a cast of Cardinals. So yeah, it's extremely important to me and I love it. Yeah.
How do you think that sets you up well to talk about a team in a development phase? When you're able to tell Jordan Walker stories from the beginning or even from like the Perfect Game days, how does that help you maybe expand on what's going on with the Cardinals in a way that, like, you know, some of the coaches with player development background are kind of geared towards this younger team?
Well, one, I think it legitimizes me, okay, which is important.
Because the players have seen you there with it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But also I think like people who are consuming what I'm saying, I think it's important to know I'm not just reading it on RotoWire or website, you know? So number one, like this is my original work that I did 10 years ago with these guys when no one was really watching. So I think mm-hmm. that's number one. And number two, information is so powerful. And I think being able to tell a story or bring something to life that I learned mm-hmm. years ago, whether it's something about their family, something about an adjustment they made. You know, Kevin McGonigal had a toe tap in high school. I saw that toe tap, right? Kevin McGonigal mm-hmm. wasn't wearing batting gloves in high school. He was a Chase Utley fan in high school. Like, I know all these things. I shared these things when he got drafted, right?
Yeah.
But it gets lost in a vacuum because the cycle moves so quickly. But I think that's important that I was there and I knew that and I can share that with people. So it's not, you know, Max Clark is a great example. I'm going away from the Cardinals for a second, but Max Clark, who gets chastised all the time for the chains that he wears and the flash that he plays with. I know who Max Clark is. He is a student of the game. He's a great human, a great person, a great teammate. His friends love him. His family loves him. He is not this kid who's running around with his hair on fire, thinking that he's all that in a bag of chips. He doesn't think that at all. He's an incredibly great person and he will ride or die for his teammates. Who cares what he wears? Why does anybody care? You obviously got to make the plays when you wear flash, mm-hmm. but our sport is too obsessed with that. So for me, when I can talk about that and say, I know Max Clark, I covered Max Clark in high school. I have many conversations with Max Clark. I still do ongoing conversations while he's in the minor leagues about things going on. I'm talking to AJ Hinch about him. So I think that those things are important to bring light. We want to shed light. I don't care if it's I work for the team, I'm doing national, doesn't matter. I want to bring these guys to life and tell stories. And that still involves accountability stories. That still involves integrity. It's not like I'm trying to blow smoke and paint this picture that's rosy and perfect or defend them. I'm not defending them. I am telling you what my journalism led me to and what I understand about this situation. And I love it. I can't get enough of it. I think it's so cool. And I work really hard and spend a lot of time that people don't see for years doing this work on backfields in Florida, sweating my buns off to get this stuff and to build relationships. There's a lot of kids who are coming up soon that I think are awesome. And I have lots of stories and I can't wait to share. And I can't wait to connect with them at the big league level. So yeah, it's my favorite kind of work. And it's the work they do, right? It's the work in the dark. So I love it. And I think it's very important to what I do personally in my work and my career.
PG stuff took you to the backfields of Jupiter, and you were back in Jupiter this spring. Yeah. Now that we've seen the Cardinals through the first 12 games of the season, and you started off by talking about how what they're describing, you know, you see is real, like this group coming together. How have you watched that happen? I mean, when you think about walking in that clubhouse for that first time, and you know the individuals, and you have, like, you personally have such a back knowledge of the origin stories of these individuals that the Cardinals will be part of their future core. How, in just, like, you know, what are we going on here, 2 months? How have you seen those individuals match?
Well, I think what I'm passionate about is the idea of a guy getting a fair shake and being set up to succeed. So Nolan Gorman going back to third base, even if the metrics right now maybe aren't favorable, he's back in a position that he grew up playing and he was drafted as, not a second baseman. So I think number one is the opportunity for some of these guys to go back to doing that. That's first and foremost. Number two is understanding that the organization, there was a step back in development, right? A well-documented step back.
Yeah.
And so there are guys developing at the big league level. That is one of the hardest things anybody will have to do as a professional athlete, especially in this sport. So Jordan Walker is one of those guys, right? He probably could have spent more time cooking down in the minors and maybe they would have identified some of these things, but the Cardinals brought him up. And so he had to, like, imagine doing your job on the biggest stage and not having all the tools and all the experience you need to do it. And millions of people are watching you. I think most people would probably have the same kind of trials and tribulations that you've seen him have. And you hope that he's uncovered something. And so kind of understanding, not only like my experience with these guys and Matthew Liberatore was the guy in high school, right? Everyone is the guy in high school. And then when you get to pro ball, how do you figure it out? He gets traded very early in his career. That's also very hard to deal with. This team that promises you the world and loves you and gives you all these things. How do you bounce back from that? And having honest conversations, he didn't want to go to the bullpen. I shared the story last night on the broadcast. Like, he did not want to do that, but he learned some things. Julio Rangel was like, hey, try this, do this. He got his groove back. So I think understanding some of the origin stories about these guys, knowing too that this young team is doing a lot of development at the big league level and the Cardinals are okay with that right now, but also because those were the decisions that were made. So I think you have to roll with it and figure it out and put the right people in place. You have to put good coaches in place for them to be able to do that there. And I think the Cardinals have that right now. So that's kind of how I've seen them in the last 2 months, I would say. And from my understanding of this team and these players, there's just guys that I think the key, Derek, is the thing I keep hearing from the guys is we know ourselves better. And the coaching staff knows themselves better. Brant Brown said, my year one to year two is light years different because I know what these guys want. This stuff takes time. it doesn't happen overnight. So I think that there's a lot of self-reflection that they did in the offseason that is paying off.
It is interesting, like, as they kind of find their way together, what the results on the field are. What do you like about this team, what you've seen so far? Are there different elements, either of game or style of play, that you've seen here that really stand out to you?
Well, you definitely don't want to play the season having to come back every game. You eventually want your bullpen to get a stop, right?
That's the thing about comebacks. It means you're down, right? Yeah.
Yes, it means you're down. So comebacks are thrilling and exciting, of course, but it means that you're down. And not only do you have to provide more offense, you have to get a stop, right? The same in basketball. You got to get a stop eventually. Have to throw a zero up there. Leadoff walks are going to kill you. So what I have loved, I think, in the first 2 weeks here and change, number one, is the lineup configuration now that Jordan Walker's in the cleanup spot and knowing JJ's one and Victor Scott is nine. Victor Scott is getting there day by day. He's understanding his superpowers. And when he needs to lay down a bunt to move the runner over, to do a safety squeeze, to bunt for a hit, he's doing it. And also saw him shoot the ball the other way. I've seen him take some really good swings. I love watching 1 through 9 figure it out together and pass the baton. And there's literally no quit. Like there's no, like, I think a lot of times at the big league level, we talk about, oh, like I'm worried about 7 through 9, right? It's a weaker lower half in the lineup. The Cardinals right now are just figuring out themselves. So even when I watch the lineup, there's never a moment where I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work because so-and-so is there. Every guy is up there busting his butt to just do the next right thing because they're still learning all those things. And then I think watching them interact with each other in the dugout, whether it's good or bad, has been really cool. And seeing that their chins are up, there's nobody who is walking around with their head down. I think that's been great. Watching Cardinal defense, which is something I grew up on, and they provide a lot of that. Watching Alec Burleson at first has been a ton of fun. He doesn't get enough love because he's doing his job, but the way he's doing it is extremely difficult. He made a lot of picks already early this season, so I really loved that. And I think that the team is going to outkick the projections. Maybe the win total might not, but I can see how they're playing. And they're playing with high competition, high energy. And they want to win so badly. They're not laying an egg because everyone got sold off this year. So that's been, I think, a blast to see. And I think that comes through the TV. I hope it comes through TV and radio for fans, the way that they've played and the work they put in. I'm watching them, you know, I have privilege to kind of see some of the underbelly, and you see it when you're in clubhouse, but you know, I'm watching guys work. I'm watching guys work really hard back there. So I think that's been a ton of fun to watch. I'm trying to think what else. I think really that's it, is just seeing them compete every moment, every play, and do whatever it takes to try to win. That's been really fun.
Do you think that if you were to kind of put on that combo perfect game and Cardinal coverage hat, do you think that's what you kind of would recommend fans to latch on to, is, you know, look for how this personality of the team emerges, not so much what the standings are, but if you were to kind of recommend, what do you think a fan should latch on to this season and watch?
If you're watching innings 1 through 9, you will be entertained. I'm not saying that as hyperbole or to sell tickets. I'm genuinely entertained by the way they play, especially in the late half of the game. Again, a more veteran team is getting ahead early and getting stops. This is a young team. Right now, it's almost playing backwards, but you're going to see them fight tooth and nail late in the game. You are going to watch their defense and be wowed by what they're doing. The strategy behind the game is very smart. It's high level from the Cardinals. And so watching Ramon Arias come in, right? Maybe it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, but eventually it will. They're plugging and playing lots of combinations right now. And eventually they will figure out the best ones that work. But I genuinely think if you watch this game, it's good baseball. It is. And do the pitchers need to execute better? Absolutely. Do they need to limit the walks? Absolutely. Like those things, do they need to get to six innings at least? The starters know that. They know all these things. So it's not that the Cardinals are like, oh, our guys are five and dive. It's not like that. They are playing really good baseball. It'll all catch up to each other. So I think that's what I would latch onto. The personalities of these guys are through the roof. They're a ton of fun. That's my job, is to make sure you know that. Right, Jim Hayes and I, that's our job to make sure. The broadcasters, that's our job to make sure you know who they are. So we're getting there. We're all kind of meshed as one. The goal is the same. We want to have a great broadcast, and high level standards are through the roof. And the team is also high level standards are the same. The standard is to win. The urgency is the same. The team is just still rebuilding. Sometimes it's not going to feel very good. The comeback victory from the Nats, that one hurts. That one makes you sick to your stomach the next day. But look how the Cardinals bounce back, right? Mm-hmm. They come back and win. So I think it's high level, high entertaining. And the fans fall in love with the players because they try hard and because we tell good stories. So I'm hopeful for that.
Yeah, for a couple of baseball nuts who want to tell good stories, maybe this is a good thing to cover. You know, it might be a... Might be an entertaining one. Danny, this has been great. I've been a fan for a long time. I feel like I've known you for a long time. I will have known you for a long time. So it's very exciting to have you around the team. And I know the enthusiasm, but I also know I cannot say this enough. I also know the expertise you're going to bring to this gig. And I am thrilled for more Cardinal fans to see it on their TVs. So I hope many tune in, and it's fantastic to have you. Eager to see all the stories you tell. Already liked so many that you've had. The Victor Scott was excellent, where you worked with him on how he's doing the bunts and his approach and everything. So it's great. And I will I'll definitely request that you come back on the Best Podcast again. Thank you so much for this time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we both have to get to work right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Special thanks to Danny Waxman, who joined me in Washington, D.C. while we were both covering the series between the Cardinals and the Nationals. The Cardinals return home to host two American League teams, Boston and Cleveland, before heading back out on the road for another interleague game. It'll be a while before they see the National League. 9 consecutive games before they go to Miami, the Best Podcast in Baseball. We'll be along for the ride, as will all of the constant Cardinals coverage at stltoday.com. You can find everything there. The Cardinals Extra, the follows, the immediate game coverage, and of course the Right Fielder newsletter that goes straight to your inbox every Friday. The Best Podcast in Baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis, and it's going to get back up on its weekly schedule. Promise. It also has a video component at stltoday.com if hearing my voice just isn't enough and you go, oh, man, I wonder what this guy looks like. Or you could go to TikTok. Man, we're just doing a whole bunch of stuff to bring Cardinals coverage to readers and to subscribers. Special thanks to everybody who has been along for the journey of BPIB through its 14 years. It'll keep going. Talk to you soon.